Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
The biggest mistake I made when I started investing in real estate was not properly educating myself on landlord insurance. So I just went with the cheapest quote. I had no idea what I was doing. So several years later, my HVAC system went out and I assumed that insurance would cover it, but then I found out that I didn't actually have the proper coverage. So I had to pay for the whole thing out of pocket. It was not a great experience. So the one thing to remember is that issues will always happen as an investor. And so it's really important for you to make sure that you're properly insured so that you can protect your investment. Steadily's coverage is low cost and they pride themselves on providing excellent service. Click the link below and get your free quote today.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. And today features episode 91 with Janelle Wilson. And in this clip, we're going to talk about creativity in real estate. How was Janelle able to go up to 100 plus doors in the portfolio? How was she able to do it? Well, boils down to one word: creativity. So whether it's the Burr method, whether it is, or other ways to approach this thing, what's so crazy is that Janelle was able to do it, and you can too. So let's get into it. This is Janelle Wilson, episode 91.
So one thing I'm picking up is that each step you just figure out what you need to know and just proceed, you know? And I think that is something that is very important, just to remain flexible, just to remain creative, because as you get to new levels in real estate or get into different kinds of investments, it's very likely you're going to need a new strategy, or that what you used before might not apply to what you have in the future. So I think it's great that very early on you picked up that habit.
Yes. Something I always tell people is know your weakness and then seek out how to fix it. So you have to always be self-aware of what's pulling you down and find ways to fix it.
Definitely. One thing you also mentioned is Section 8. There's a lot of misconceptions about Section 8, and it's unbelievable misconceptions people discuss regarding Section 8. Can you share some misconceptions you've heard and why Section 8 is such a great option as a real estate investor?
Yeah, so with the Burr strategy, the one thing that people are afraid of is the leverage, so many loans. And Section 8 is really the answer to that. I have over 6 million in loans, and I am very comfortable with that. I don't even think about it because I get automatic payments from the government. So every first of the month, money's there. I pay my bills on the 5th, all of them. It's enough to cover the mortgage, the insurance, the taxes, everything. And it really leads me to be able to focus on the next project or next, because it also makes sure all of my automatic payments can cover the financing of my next project. So it's really a huge relief all for me. People worry about it. I said, listen, just learn how to control it, learn how to manage it. And Section 8 is a big part of that. A lot of investors who I know who use Section 8, we have huge portfolios because we use leverage. And leverage is so important in growing. Anyone who is comfortable with it makes a lot of money.
Definitely, definitely. And I you know, the guests we've had have said, all said the same thing, which is why I always like for guests who use it to talk, continue to talk about it, because it's a win-win for both sides. Someone gets an opportunity. Obviously, you vet the tenant as you would anyone else, but you don't have to worry about, I mean, look what happened in the past year, right? So many people lost their shirt. So many people went without rent for so long until maybe rent, a certain assistance came into place. But I'm sure you didn't have many issues during the pandemic.
Not a one. April 1st, I was sleeping like a baby. People were losing their shirts. They were like, oh my God. They were calling their tenants, telling them to make sure they were going to pay, which if I was a tenant and I was like a good paying tenant, I don't need you to call me and tell me to pay my rent. I was already going to pay it. But people were freaking out. And I was just so relieved that I already relied on Section 8 and didn't have to worry. So ever since then, I've been getting all kinds of calls to do presentations and tell them about the program, because I have to clear up the misconceptions like you talk about. People just assume that people are bad, but as long as you screen your tenants, there are plenty of good people out here. You just don't have any money, or they're on Social Security or disability, or they're retired, just don't have enough money, and they're on a program. There's other people on that are veterans that are on a program. So there's a lot of good people on the program. You just have to still screen. That is it.
Definitely. So what are some challenges you experienced in your first few years investing that helped you moving forward?
So I think the biggest challenges is always the money and the contractors. So I went through 5 contractors before I got my star. And you just have to always keep recognizing that they're not for you. It's almost like dating. You got to just dump the one who's not for you and trust that the right one is out there for you. And that's what I did. I just kept going through new contractors. And my 5th one was the one, and we were rock and roll for 10 years. Now, this past year, and I swear it's because of COVID, people were in quarantine. He's getting a divorce, and my electrician are getting a divorce. And my last project has been a nightmare because I don't have my core people, because having a good contractor is key. So once you get your money down pat, once you get your lenders, your credit cards, and your refinance, and then you get your contractor, you are set. So as long as you keep working, keep searching, you have a discipline and a motivation to make it happen, you will be successful. So it's all about trial and error and getting your team together. But those are the biggest pain points that I see. And get those early and you'll be in good shape.
Definitely. It seems like contractors can be a challenge for people to find, especially those who are newer or just in general, really. Do you have one or two tips that you would give people to help as they're looking for and vetting contractors?
Yeah, so I think one of the main things is knowing your contractor's motivation. You have to make sure you have a contractor who's motivated. And one of the things that I always pick is contractors who have families, because they have to feed the family. So ones that are older and are retired, they don't really have a lot of motivation. They just kind of want to get enough money to pay their bills. And so they never finish, really. So they're very knowledgeable because they've been doing it for a long time. So oftentimes I keep them as like a backup or to fill in here and there, or like be a punch list person. But for most part, I always find that people who have families are the most reliable because they have food to put on the table.
Definitely. That's a good tip. I don't think I've heard that one before, but that makes a lot of sense.
The only bad thing about that is because all my contractors have families, we were all in a bind during COVID because they had school. So it was a catch 22. It's like, they're good people. They're motivated, but we just couldn't. So we all had the same problem. So we were all very understanding. They were like, I'm sorry. You know, she had to go to work today. And I was like, I understand. It's like, we're all going to be paying for this. So I get it. When I took up my last few projects, I got them because of COVID, because the financing had fell through for so many people. As soon as COVID happened, a lot of lenders had dried up. And so I was able to get a really good deal. It was a steal. And I knew that because my kids would probably be home, which they were, and my contractors had the problem, I already assumed that there were going to be a lot of losses in this project, but it will still be worth it. So going to this already understanding the deal, I'm actually almost finished with the project, but COVID has been a blessing and a curse, obviously.
Definitely. Did you continue to acquire? You mentioned this project. Did you continue to acquire pretty aggressively during the pandemic? Did your strategy change at all during that time?
So I really wanted to take a break because, like I said, my kids were over 6 months and I had a baby. I had a baby in August 2019. He had just went to daycare. So I was like, yes, I get a break, because he's my third. I'm like over the baby phase. And so he came back home at 6 months and I was like, oh my God, and I just bought 4 triplexes and a duplex that I was running all at the same time. So it was extremely hard. It was really unorganized, but I got it done in 6 months. And I was going to take a break because I needed it. But this wonderful deal came across my lap. And I wasn't going to take it on. No, I wasn't going to take it on because I love the properties. And it was for a great deal, like I said, because people's financing just wasn't coming through. It had been through so many hands. And it finally fell into mine. And it came with a great financing package. So I did want to buy it. And I bought a couple other ones because of the same rank, the same thing. So whenever there is a recession or bad things are happening and people can't get financing, deals always pop up. So I had to take advantage. So yes, I did. I was still buying. I bought about $3 million worth of real estate last year.
Wow. Were these mostly like multifamily units?
Yeah, pretty much mostly multifamilies. It was 4 four units, a triplex, and an eight unit.
Got it. All in the Philly area?
Yeah, it's all in Philly.
Got it. Wow. So it's interesting because we've had a couple of guests who similar things happened. You know, they have been grinding for however many years, mm-hmm. and they were in a position, thankfully, where they were liquid enough or able to kind of move things around and take advantage of everything that transpired last year. So it's great to hear that you're able to do the same thing.
Yeah, I always tell people, strive to be a prime borrower. You can get in there with a no-doc lender because the money's easy, but as soon as things get tough, they go away. So you have to make sure you can appeal to a prime lender and get financing when other people can't.
Definitely. Can you share with us more about the Philly market and how you've seen it change since you started? It seems like everyone on the internet wants to invest in Philly. So things are happening.
It's very saturated. The prices are nowhere near as good as they used to be. A lot of things are going above market value. And the people who are new don't really understand that. I was buying, it's a lot of us who were buying, 10, 20 years ago, and the prices have gone up. And we don't buy in those areas anymore because it's no longer a deal. We real investors, we like deals. And so we're not going to buy in areas that have appreciated and they're very popular because the price goes up. So I still buy in unpopular areas because that's where the deals are. So there are still some pockets where you can get mm-hmm. deals. For the most part, you really have to do it creatively, which is off market. If you have wholesalers or if you source your own deals, you can still get deals that way. But you just have to work a little bit harder. You can't just go on the MLS and find a deal. There are plenty of places, not in Philly, where you can still find deals on the MLS.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.